Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
I love the music this morning. This band is so good. They just warm my heart, and all the songs they chose today fit so well with this idea of welcome and forgiveness and identity. We sing sometimes, "Hello, my name is Regret." You know the song that starts like that? Hello, I can't sing it. We sing it in worship. My name is regret. My name is defeat. But at the end of that song, we celebrate that we have found our true name, our true identity as a child of the one true King. Our unique identity is important to us. Now, at various times in life, we may resort to extreme ways of finding and knowing just what that identity is, but identity is important. Our individuality is important. You know, they sing the old songs about, there's a long white robe in the heavens for me. Well, sometimes, Lord forgive me, we don't want to be a child of the King. We want to be sometimes the child. The favorite child. And what if we don't want that long white robe in heaven like everybody else's? What if we want the robe to be our favorite color? In my case, periwinkle. I love periwinkle. Or pink or red. Now, this is how we might think when we're newer to the faith or when we haven't spent enough time going deeper in our spirituality, when we have not learned the meaning of completeness, wholeness, unity, and oneness in Christ. We're afraid somehow that we will lose who we are if we give ourselves totally over to God. But here is the truth. We are individually loved and treasured by God through Jesus Christ. The things that are unique about each of us do not escape His eye or His attention. The young man we call the prodigal thought there was something for him beyond his familiar world, and he wanted to go find it. Jewish culture at that time expected children to stay with their families, to work the land, to care for their parents. Does anybody remember the Cartwrights and Bonanza? Those boys stayed on the land with their dad. Can you imagine little Joe or Hoss doing this, what the prodigal did, asking for their share of the Ponderosa so they could go squander it in Dodge City or whatever that city was near the Ponderosa? For this younger son to ask for his inheritance was completely unheard of and should have been greatly offensive to the father. It was an insult. It was shameful to ask for the inheritance. It was like saying to the father, "I wish you were dead and out of the way, because I want this now." However, it was even more out of character that the father would agree to give him the inheritance. Any other father would have told the son, "You're out of your mind, get back to work." They lived in a land-based economy. A family's wealth would have been their land. The land would have been sacred to them, considered a gift from God. One's whole life and identity was tied to their land. To sell the land was to completely reject one's family identity. But he then took the money and he squandered it in some foreign place. So when the father received the young son back with such a huge welcome, it was a moment of scandalous grace. This parable would have been shocking to Jesus' hearers. It would have been so out of character that it would be almost unbelievable. The story tells us in verse 17 that the prodigal came to himself. Something pulled him back into right thinking. Have you ever wandered into strange places in a quest for your identity? Our college students who are leaving home for the first time this fall will be starting their journey into their adult selves. They will have fun doing this, not too much we hope, but they will also face challenges and temptations as they work it all out. Blessings on each one of them. Sometimes in our quest, we do end up in the wrong places. But maybe we, like the prodigal son, got pulled back from our stinking thinking into right thinking. I believe the pure and perfect will of God is like a magnetic force exerted on us. It draws us back to God over any time or distance that we may have put between us. Archbishop Desmond Tutu wrote a piece called God Has a Dream, and in it he said this, "I have a dream, God says. Please help me to realize it. It is a dream of a world whose ugliness and squalor and poverty, its war and hostility, its greed and harsh competitiveness, its alienation and disharmony are changed into their glorious counterparts, when there will be more laughter, joy, and peace, where there will be justice and goodness and compassion and love and caring and sharing. I have a dream that swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, that my children will know that they are members of one family, the human family, God's family, my family." Now, how beautiful is that? It is God's dream to renew, reconcile, repair, and restore all of creation. That dream and desire is the magnetic power in the parable of the prodigal son that works to pull the prodigal back home, that causes him to come to himself. It is the magnetic force that is at work pulling us toward our better self, our true identity. We want to form our own identity so often, to shape ourselves in the image of whatever we view as worldly success. But God's energy is always tugging us back to center, back to the wholeness of his perfect and purposeful creation. I've heard people say that this parable is primarily about the actions of the prodigal. Others have pointed out that it's intended to teach about the older brother who could not let go of his resentment over the celebration of his brother's return. There are lessons for us from both of these young men, but the tone is set by the actions of the Father. The Father in our story represents that tugging and magnetic pull from God. Don't you know that a good father would will with every fiber of his being for a wayward son to come home? The Father exhibits a graciousness like the graciousness of God. He represents all of the things Desmond Tutu named in his writing: renewal, reconciliation, repair, and restoration. It is the Father who made this possible. When the prodigal returned, the home, the land, the family was nearly whole again. I say nearly because there is one holdout: the older brother. People have said he represents the Pharisees of Jesus' day, the obey-the-rules legalistic Jews who would not accept Jesus' message of mercy and grace. Their law was not a law of love. It was a law of strict adherence to rules according to their interpretation of those rules. It was exclusive rather than inclusive, rejection rather than welcome. If I am one with God, I will have the courage to welcome the wanderer home. I will have the courage to offer an embrace to those who are tattered and torn because of the paths they have walked. I will beat down the swords and spears of my own pride and self-righteousness, my tendency to judge, until they become doorways that open up to compassion, friendliness, and happy welcome to everyone. If I am one with God, I will be like this father who ran to meet his son before his son could reach him, who forgave before forgiveness was asked for, who rejoiced at the return of the prodigal and reminded the older son that there was plenty of love for everyone. If we, the congregation, are one with God, we will make this type of welcome a reality here at Middletown. What would such a welcome look like? If you are a Tolkien fan, you know that hobbits celebrate their birthday by giving everyone else a present, maybe even throwing a party for all their family and friends. That is generosity. And it seems to me the hobbits understand the attitude of the prodigal son's father. But the generosity goes even farther than that. When the older brother complained to his father that he had always been the rule follower who stayed where he was supposed to stay, worked when he was supposed to work, didn't ask for a thing. When the older brother pointed out the shortcomings of the prodigal and reminded dad of just how wicked and wrong his younger brother had been, the father did not get angry at him. He embraced the older son and said, "All I have is yours. It's not your brother's party. It's my party because he was dead to me and now he is back. It's my party and everyone shares in the gifts." Always welcoming, not just to the sinners and those who have strayed, but also to the self-righteous, crabby ones who tend to hang around us. We have to love them too. Can you be like that? Can we as a church be like that? Every Sunday here in this place should be like a hobbit birthday party. Open doors, warm welcome, gifts to share. The more like that we become, the more God's magnetic pull will increase, drawing people to a God experience in this place, a Jesus Christ experience in this place. God is at work calling people home all the time. He refreshes the call to us every time we share in Holy Communion. There is something magnetic about this offer of grace, this reminder of Jesus' willing sacrifice for us, his ultimate gift of love for the entire world. It pulls us into his embrace. When we're there, we hear his heartbeat and know that he is rejoicing each time we commune with him and open our spirits to his spirit. He is the host and we are the guest at this table. Can you feel his energy pulling you in, drawing you home?
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.